He's the evil spirits in the head. There's no way that you have to fight. There's no way that you have to do anything. All you have to do is get the word of God in your heart. That is it. Be ready. The only way you can be ready is by feeding of this. This is our food. This is the roasted lamb. Eat everything that is given in here for you. When you eat that, the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn out. That's not what's from him. That will burn out all that, the things that you don't like, that you dislike about yourself. The Holy Spirit is going to burn that out. Just by eating the Word of God. Okay, then let's go back to Exodus 12. It says, verse 11. And you shall eat this, fully prepared for the journey, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, as the Lord passes through. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment, proving them helpless. I am the Lord. Very specifically, I am the Lord. The blood shall be for a token or a sign to you upon your doorposts and the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, if we talk about Egypt, we talk about everything that is evil and is not from God. Egypt is always, if you talk about in connection of Egypt, Egypt is always about the evil spirits and your enemy. Now, what he says here is exactly what happened when Jesus died. When he died, he said, this is my blood for you. This is my blood. Now, I've taken Jesus. He's my redeemer. He's my salvation. I have said to you, you are my savior. I accepted you as Lord of all. Now what happens when you do that? You are here. This is God. He died. What he does is he takes you. And he holds you. Now if I am like this, what do you see? Can you see the fist in my hand? No, you can't. That is exactly what the blood of Jesus did. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood of Jesus. Exactly like this. He says, that night, when I pass there and I see the blood, I will pass over you. When Jesus sees the blood, when God sees the blood, that you receive your salvation, all he does is he passes by and there's no evil that will come on you. You will not die. You will not die. You will never die. Because he's not after the saved. He's after those that's not saved. That's why he says, I'll give you a chance. And he wants everybody to be saved. But if they don't listen to God's word, something bad is going to happen. In the end, when Jesus returns, something bad is going to happen. And people have rejected God, something bad is going to happen. But something for us now, the blood of Jesus saves us. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. He doesn't, that's why when God looks at you, he sees Christ in you. He sees Jesus in your life. That means when you are in Christ Jesus, you've got all the blessings that you can think of. Because what he said is, the things that I have done on this earth, you will do, and even greater things like that. Why would he say something like that if he doesn't believe in us that we are not in him? He's going to do the same thing because we are in him, through us. All we need to do is be ready. Stand, be ready. He goes on, he says, okay, there the blood is taken, and then this, okay, then we can carry on. Let's go to verse 28. He says, the Israelites went, and as the Lord has commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord slew every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, for the firstborn of the prisoner in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now before that, Moses went to Pharaoh, and he said to Pharaoh exactly what's going to happen. He told him. He told him exactly what's going to happen. And that's why Pharaoh stood up in the night. Because Moses told him beforehand, this is what's going to happen. And that's why he stood up in the night to go and have a look whether his son is still alive. And he got there and was dead. He knew that. Why will somebody wake up in the night by himself? If he's not worried. If something is not in him. That's going to change. And that's why everybody. Then he says, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get from among my people, both you and the Israelites, go, serve the Lord as you said. He says, and also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be God. And ask God also to bless me. And you believe in the Lord. He says, go, please go. And while you're at it, please ask your God to bless me as well. He knew what was God. He knew who God was. After the third plague, he already knew that God was the God of life. Because the first three plagues, all his magicians could perform. They could do exactly the same. The fourth one, from the fourth plague, they couldn't do it anymore. And they actually said that we cannot perform it because this is a living God that can do that. The fourth plague was life. Light is a living thing. God is the only person that can create life. The devil cannot create life. The devil can only kill. Nobody can create life. Only God can create life. So from the fourth plague, these magicians, they acknowledged and said, we cannot do that. Because this is the hand of a living God. So, Pharaoh knew that there's a living God. But God also said that he's hardened his heart, so he didn't let them go. Because he wanted to show the Israelites the Passover. He wanted to get to that 10th plague, where he can show us the future, where the blood was used to cover sin. But he gave his blood to take away our sin. Not just to cover it, to take it away. Forever forgotten. Never to be reminded of it again. Because when the devil comes and reminds you of your sin that you've done, it's very easy. What? God can't remember it. How can you say that I've got sin? God can't remember it. My mind tells me, yes, I know exactly what I've done yesterday. But God says, I've forgiven you. And I don't even think of it, and I've forgotten about it. Now the devil comes and says, that's why we can say, therefore, there is no more condemnation against us. Because we are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. It's taken away. But the wonderful thing is going to come here. It says, then verse 33 says, the Egyptians were urgent with the people to depart, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we are all dead men. The people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowl being bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. The Israelites did according to the word of Moses, and they urgently asked the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing. What did the wise men do when Jesus was born? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. This is exactly what the Egyptians gave the Israelites. And listen what he said. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things. They took everything. They took all their gold, all their diamonds, all the precious clothes, all of it. Why did Pharaoh chase after the Israelites when they were gone? Because they had nothing left. The Israelites took all their gold, their silver, their cattle, everything. They took everything. They didn't have anything left. So you realize, oh my goodness, if we want to survive, we need to get our stuff back. We need to get it back. And God just showed him, man, I am Lord. I am God. To show when Moses got to the Red Sea again, what did he do? He stand. And God said to him, take your staff, put it on the sea, and the sea opened. Again, he didn't stand up to fight. All he did was he stand. Again, all this, as we talk about the rest. When we say we must come and get into God's rest, this is exactly that. Just stand. Get the armor of God in your life. Stand. The victory is yours. Because you are not going to have any victory because God is going to take the victory. Why? God does not want to share His glory. God does not want to share His glory. God wants to have all the glory. If you're going to work, God's going to stand back. If you're going to stand, God's going to work. Because He does not want to share His glory with you. God wants all the glory. So if something happens in your life, something that's good, give God glory. Don't think it's because of your good works, of what you have done. Give God glory. In everything, He wants the glory. When you do that, you're going to receive blessings upon blessings upon blessings. God's going to give you all the gold, all the silver, everything that you need. He's going to give it to you. You're going to have favor. You're going to actually strip the devil from all this. Can you see what happens when you are obedient? You do what God tells you. Blood on the post, on the lintel. Eat everything that I need to eat of God. Be ready. Have that armor of God on. What does God do? He gives victory. He gives victory. And all he says to you, stand. Now, if you think the Israelites went, they, that night, before they were told, okay, you can go now. Israelites were slaves. They were caned, they were whipped. They had bruises, they had cuts, they had, some of them most probably had broken bones and all those kind of things. How do you think God will let a nation go out while there's so many people that is not well? They don't have health. God had to do a miracle. He had to do a miracle. Because the word says they all walked out. They all walked out. They gathered all the cows and all the stuff that the Egyptians, that they took from the Egyptians, and they all went. During that night, with the Passover, when they ate the body, when they ate the lamb, they got healed. They got healed. Because now they have to be healed to be able to go out. God will not have you as lame, as something that is not good in you, for to send you out so that you can be a witness for it. God gives you everything. He gives you His protection. That's why I pray Psalm 91. Pray the protection of God. Have that. It's there. It's available. Again, that's the word of God, the bread of life. We need to have the bread of life in our hearts. So that we can speak it out. Faith comes by hearing. Then we will have the faith and we will see the difference. And you see, there's already a lot of promises that God's making there for us. Can you see how God has pulled it already out of the Old Testament to show us what's going to happen in the New Testament? How there's a new covenant? Because it's a better one than it was in the Old Testament. Now, if that was what they received in the Old Testament, God said, how much more am I going to give to you? Now, do you realize that we don't really have what they have? If you go think, do we have everything that the Israelites had after that night? I don't think so. I think we're falling short. We're falling short on a lot of things. That's because we don't trust God. We don't think God can do what He says He can do and wants to do. And the reason for that is we don't have the Word of God in our lives. If we have the Word of God, if we eat this bread of life, yes, Gordon speaking this morning, the bread of life. If we have the bread of life, something is going to change. You're going to be filled by God from your inner being. And that filling is going to come out with joy, with what the Word says. And you're going to give God glory. When you give God glory, when you give God praise, something changes. Now the fight that we have, that we're fighting, again, before the Israelites went into, when they took in Jericho, what did they do? They were quiet. 7 days they walked around the Jericho. They shouted. They gave God glory. Shout. They gave God glory. What happened? God gave them victory. They didn't do anything. They just shouted. And then they went in to take the land in possession. We need to give God glory. When we give God glory, we know that if it doesn't come from ourselves, we get victory. He gets us the victory because He does the work. Is He stripped the Egyptians. They stripped the Egyptians. When we receive the body of Christ, and this is now coming to that part, which we all know, that when we have communion, God gave his body so that we can have life in abundance. So he gave his body so we can be healed. The Israelites, when they received the body of Christ, when they received that roasted lamb, they were healed. Now God says, this is exactly what I want to do. When you eat of my body, this is a remembrance. You are reminding me of that covenant that I've made with you. When you eat of my body, you will receive healing. This is absolute faith. God said it. I'm standing ready to receive it. With the armor of God, I'm not going to do anything. I just receive it. For years we said we're going to take part in communion. God did not say, come take the communion. He said, I'm giving it to you. God didn't say, this is my body, come and take my body. He says, I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my blood. All we have to do is receive it. And you see, there's no action from our side. We don't do anything. We don't perform anything. We just have to receive it. That's what we have to do, receive it. Yeah, we read this, 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 23. It's about the communion. It says, for I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread, and when he had given thanks, again, he gave thanks. He gave thanks for receiving it. He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is a new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes to you. So we're witnessing it every time. Now, there's something that he said that as often as you do it. Now, in our house, every morning, we get together, we pray, and we have communion. Ever since we did that, things started to change in our house. The devil will attack us with all these things that we receive, pains and aches and all these things, and we think, what do you do? Because when you start to just be obedient to the cross, the devil is attacking you like you will never be attacked in your life. Because all he wants to do is take you away your belief. If you don't believe it anymore, you're not going to do it. So we get a lot of time we sit and we do this and we feel, why am I doing this? Is it worth it to go through this? Leave it, and the devil will leave you alone. But the devil will also know that you won't have lessons. So as if he can get you not to be obedient to Christ, not to partake, he has won. He's got the victory. And you have been robbed from your blessing. I'm going to give you an example. Thursday. I'm riding, getting into my car, and I'm riding to Broomfield, to the hospital, because the doctor wanted to see me concerning the things that are my stomach problems that I had. And God healed me of it. So I was on my way there because the last time I was there, they took us with the camera, they took a scope, and then they took samples of what was in my intestine. And they wanted to discuss it. So I went there, and the doctor looked at me, and she asked me, "Why did you come?" And I said, "But they, according to the scans and stuff that I had, there was a problem." And she says, "Yes, I can see that they see that. But according to the scope, and according to the samples that we took, there's nothing wrong." And I smiled and I said, "Yes, my God is alive." And I grew big like that. And she said, "Well, if you have a problem in the future," and I said, "I won't. But thank you anyway." And through that testimony, something happened in her life. But that's not what I'm talking about. I got into the car on my way home. Got onto the A12, and just before we enter into Britain, the car starts to stutter. And I think, what? Because we had a problem. We thought we had a noise in the car previously, and we thought it was actually the power steering, that fluid is gone, because the steering wheel is stiff. So we thought it was that. So here the car starts to stutter. And I said, "God, just let me get home. God, just let me get home." And got into the off ramp, and every time the car just starts and goes out, and I said, "Hey, Lord." And another, "God, just let me get home." And the car goes. And the next time, the car started like that, and it died. And I just saw, I saw the alternator light come on, and then I saw all those lights flashing on my head. And the car died. Now I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? I mean, I don't know people around here. Everybody's at work. I'm sitting in a car, it's raining, it's cold, and the first person I think of is Johan, and I find him, but he's at work. Show me. I said, I hardly finished speaking to him, the news phone's ringing. And she says, "I've got the insurance people, I've got their number." And then I remembered, okay, but I've also got their number on my phone. So I said, thank you, and that's the Holy Spirit helping us. I found the insurance. They said, "No, they're on the way. It will take about 45 minutes for the guy to get there." I'm telling you, it wasn't 5 minutes and the guy stopped behind me. I promise you, not even 5 minutes and the guy stopped behind me. Got out of his car. I said, "Goodness gracious." And he came in and he said, "What's wrong?" I told him what's wrong. And he got his battery charger and checked the battery, and he said, "Start the car." And I started the car. And the car went on. And I was just going to say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, it was just a flat battery." And then he said, no. And then he checked it again, he says, "No, that's not the problem." And I said to him, "But isn't it the power steering, because that's..." He says, "No." He checked it and he said, "No, it's the alternator. The problem with the alternator." And he said to me, "Okay, what he can do, is he's not allowed to tow me. He needs to, what he will do is he'll give me a spare battery, get the battery in my car, get me home." Then he took his battery and he says, "I'm just going to fix it up tonight." I would have gone and take all bought stuff for the power steering, and it's a big job in that car to be able to, because you have to take off the wheel, you have to take the cover off at the bottom, and then you can only get into the, and then it's a pump, and you need to replace the pump. And I was thinking, how am I on earth? I mean, what I know of cars is dangerous. And anyway, and there he comes, and God shows him, and he says to me, you know what? I let this happen so that you can see what is the problem, so that that the car's problem can be solved. If you got home, if I got home, I would have still been under the impression that it's this problem. It would have cost me 3 times the amount before I will find out eventually, don't know how, eventually, that it's the ultimate, it's a problem. God lets stuff happen to you. But because of the fact that we were obedient, He gives you wisdom. He gives people in your life that will give you, that will help you. I mean, 5 minutes after I've spoken to Denise, and after this guy helped me, John phoned me and says, how can I help you? And I said, thank you, but I can't write, but I'm thanking that you are a friend, that you phone back and say, listen, what can I do to help you? God placed people in your lives so that they can be helpful. But you need to be obedient. And ever since we started, and this is what I do every day. Denise got the one night, she got this itch in her throat and this cold and stuff. And the next morning, we did the communion. That night, no more itch. Cold and stuff is gone. And we go. The other day she woke up and she said, my throat is sore. I had communion. That night I asked her, how's it? I don't know, what's better. But the devil will still attack you. But in this time, when he attacks you, God gives you that wisdom, that knowledge, that favor, that blessing, so you can get out of that. One thing that I've realized, and I'm going to read to you this thing, 2 Chronicles 20. And I want you to read this. This is something. While you're busy reading there, I want to tell you this example. Samuel stands with his servant, and they in the valley, and the servant says, there's a mighty army coming against us, and he can see the army on the mountain hills. And he says, what are we going to do? And Samuel said, God, open his eyes so he can see. And God opened his eyes, and behind the enemy army was God's army. And when he saw that, he saw the mighty, God's army comes up behind this army. And they start to kill each other. And Samuel and the servant stood there in amazement, looking at the victory. God is always for you. God will fight your fight. God will fight your battle. God will fight your sicknesses. He will take it all away. Alright, now here, I'm going to read to you. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came up on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. He said, hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Now Jehoshaphat, again, same scenario. Jehoshaphat says, and all these armies, the Syrians, the Philistines, they all come together. They're all going to come and fight. And here they sat with this. But before this happened, let's read from verse 5. He says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Here's the king. And he asked God, aren't you God in heaven? See, when he saw the problem, the armies coming up against him, he saw the problem, and then he started to doubt God. And the first thing when we have problems, we say, God, where are you? Why? What's going on here? Why am I in this situation? Why am I going through this? And then we doubt God. Oh God, where are you? Are you not God? Then he goes on. He says, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might. We know that. We say that. So that none is able to withstand you. Did not you, O our God, drive our inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They dwell in it and they have built your sanctuary in it for your name's sake. If evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment, the pestilence of famine, we will stand before this house and before you, before your name, and as a symbol of your presence in this house to cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say. The people of Judah came together and they said, Father, Lord, we will look to you with our eyes. We will have our eyes focused on you. Sorry, I just want to find that verse. Okay, verse 12. Let's read from verse 11. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your position, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now, a lot of times we are in problem situations, and sometimes we don't know what to do. And this is all you need to do. And say, Father, I don't know how to solve this problem, but my eyes are upon you. That's all they did. They didn't go to fight, they didn't do. They said, our eyes are upon you. And God came back and he said, the battle is not yours. For the battle is God's. I said this morning I'm going to give you five words that you can use for victory. And if you use those five words, you know that you can't do anything to get out of that situation. Only God did. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. Can you see what you do? Lord, I can't do anything. If you confess like this children did, says, this is a great company that is coming up against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And you know what God said to them? You can go and read this whole chapter at home if you want to. God said to them, go. And he says, take your armies and start to go. Walk. You're going to go to the wall. But before they got the wall, God already, these armies started to fight against each other and they killed each other. When they got to the place where they had to sit, supposed to be at war, there was a war. Everybody was dead. They got there and they walked into a field of bodies where everything was lying dead. When you keep your eyes on the Lord, He will fight your battle. When you're in a battle, and then you confess, the battle is the Lord's. So you tell yourself, I cannot do this. I cannot solve this. You humble yourself. In that way, you humble yourself before God. And you say, God, this is now me trusting you. And God comes with that. He killed the enemy. You're going to see your problem solved like you've never seen it before. You're going to see situations change in your life like you've never seen it before. If you've got a problem in your marriage, you said, battle is the Lord's. He's going to change it. If you've got illness or sickness in your body, the battle is the Lord. His promises, through His body, I will be healed. The battle is the Lord. He's already got the victory. The battle is the Lord. You stand on those five words. The battle is the Lord. God will give you victory. God will give you that wisdom. He's going to give you favor. If you want a position, I truly believe that God wants to supply all our needs. He wants to give us more than what we want. But if we stand firm and say, Father, the battle is yours, I'm going to receive it. God says He wants to give you what you want in your heart. He knows what you want. But you need to ask Him. Be specific what you want. Because God likes you to be specific. You want the car? Ask Him, Lord, I want the blue car. Whatever car you want, I want the blue Volkswagen. Be specific when you ask. God's going to give you. But now, don't. I've got a saying, if you've got a dream and you've heard, set your mark in the stars. If you reach for the stars, you miss it. You're still going to get more than if you put your trust there at the low level, 2-3 meters above earth. And you might get that, but you're going to lose out on all the other blessings that you could have got. Don't think God is not big enough to do what you want. God says, test me. Stretch it out. God, I want to sit in beds. You know? Stretch it out. God knows your heart. He knows what you want. I think we need to trust God more. The battle is the Lord. He wants to give us. He gave His life. He put a new covenant in place so that we can have life, life in abundance. That means more than what we are thinking. More than what we want. Now I truly believe God's going to do something tonight in your life. you're going to do something differently in my life. Because I trust God for a lot of things. And I believe that He's going to do it. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So you shall dwell in the land, and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secrets, petitions of your heart. Even those things that people don't know, those secret things that are in your heart, tell it to God. He's going to give it to you. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident. Also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. With the emphasis on, He will bring it to pass. Can you see another, the great promises that God has got in His Word for us? If you go and think of every promise that God has given you in your life before, and you think, where are all those promises? Then we need to realize, we prayed last week, and one of the things that God told us that we need to be in His rest. We need to rest. The battle is not yours. You don't fight. You don't have to fight to get anything. The battle is the Lord's. He will give you what you want. He will give you what you need. All you need to do is eat of Him. Everything that He gives you to eat of Him, eat that. This word in your heart, the bread of life. The bread of life. When we receive all these magnificent revelations that He gives, take it, eat it, go and think about it, pray about it, and say, God, I have not experienced this in my life. I want to experience this, because this is a promise that God has given me. My eyes, I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are set on You. I will give You glory. Because when I do something, it's going to be a failure. Sometimes we get successes, but the successes that we get is minimal when we do it out of our own. Think of everything that you've done out of your own. You have reached some success, but could you have done better if God willed? I think we need to trust God. Trust God. And I want you to really challenge you. Take communion. The word says, as often. Man, if you want to do it two or three times a day, do it. Pray for your own blessing. Because you remind God every time you do it. You remind God. He gave me His body for you. By His fire, I am healed. Through His blood, I am saved. When we drink of the blood, we drink the wine. Wine is always in line with joy. Wine is joy. Think of those guys that like to drink. After the first couple of wine, they're very joyful, aren't they? Isn't that so? You get very happy when you have a couple of drinks. That's joy. Now if you have the wine of God, the joy in your life, that's where He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So where do we get our strength from? From the blood of Jesus. When we have the joy of the Lord in our life, the blood that comes as it cleanses us, that there's something that happens in our inner being. You are in peace. You are at peace. Because now we can say, it's not of me. I didn't do it. I didn't deserve it. Nothing you do can, you will never ever be able to deserve anything from God. Get into his rest. Just all you do, put on my armor of salvation. Thank you, Lord, I've been saved. Put on my shoes of faith with the word of God. Have the sword in my hand, which is the word of God, the Holy Spirit. When I have that, the Holy Spirit comes and he does something in our life. He says, I'll fight. You stand there with the sword, and everything that happens, you just see in the air. You see all devils flying around. God's destroying them all around you. Open your heavenly eyes. See how God fights for you? Just by standing with the sword. You're not fighting. You're standing with the sword. You're standing with faith. Proclaiming God's word. Because that what is all that comes from your inner being. You're eating this roasted lamb. Being changed. Being renewed. Being delivered. Being healed. This is the truth. The truth will set you free. So we're going to have now communion, and I trust God that everything in your life that you've got a situation and a problem with, your grandchildren that doesn't know the work of the Lord, your children, you've got a problem with your children. God is going to do something in your life tonight. I truly believe it. God said to me, when I said I wanted to do this, God said to me specifically, I will confirm my word through signs and wonders. I will. I want to encourage you. You're going to see signs and wonders in your life. When you stand at rest, go into this word. Go and eat it. This roasted lamb. And you're going to find wonders in there that you've never known before. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to open up this word for you so that you're going to stand amazed at what he's going to show you. Go and look for promises in his word. It's full of it. Plus, when you get a promise, write it down. Remember, says God, remind me. God says, remind me. He knows exactly what's in this word, but he wants you to remind him so that he can bless you. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. But he wants to hear it from you so that when you say that, that is a confession that says, Father, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. The battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. When you get into a fight with your children, when you get in a fight with your husband, your wife, the battle is the Lord's. Yeah, the battle is the Lord's. It's not always who's right and who's wrong. The battle is the Lord's. Sometimes you're wrong. And then you need to sit back and say, I was wrong. The battle is the Lord's. I have to confess. You know what confess means? Confess means turn away, turn the opposite direction. That's confess. Turn away from the wrong. Go to that what God has promised you. So tonight, if you're sick, take this and say, thank you, Lord. The battle is yours. I receive tonight your body. I receive tonight your healing. I receive tonight your faith. I receive tonight your grace. Anybody that you know that is sick or has got a problem, say, Lord, I am taking this for that person. The battle is not mine. The battle is not that person's. Father, I'm standing here in this gap. The battle is yours. So receive this tonight. We receive this from God. He's given it to us. He said, take. Take. That means He gives it to us. So receive this tonight. Sorry, my hand.
You can pause around.
God gives you His body tonight. He says, this is my body that I give to you so that you can receive healing, so that you can receive blessings, so that you can receive favor. Lord, that you can receive your body tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the battle is yours. Thank you for receiving, that we can receive healing. Thank you, Father, that we can receive wealth, health, prosperity, favor in our work, favor in our family. Lord, I bring the families, all these people's families tonight in front of you, and I say, Father, here we are. We don't know what to do, but we keep our eyes on you, Lord. We focus our eyes tonight on Jesus. Because you are our salvation. You are our healing. You are our deliverer. You set us free tonight, Father. Free from bondages. Lord, we bring our children to you. We lay them before you, Father. And thank you, Father, the battle is yours. They will know you. They will experience you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a miracle now in each and everyone's life tonight. And even those, Father, that we stand in the gap for tonight, and
And we pray for them and we say, thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a miracle in their words and their lives. A miracle, Father. We're looking forward to the testimonies. Thank you, Father, that you are not a liar. You don't say something and you don't do it. Thank you that we can receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your blood. Thank you for this wine, this joy of the Lord. The joy, Father, that's going to come into my heart. And when I have joy, Father, my mind is clear. My mind is at peace. So that I can think clearly. That's why, Father, you said that we will have a mind that's clear. Thank you, Father, we receive this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we trust you tonight. We trust you tonight, Father.